scenes at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I've killed my share of engines in a thousand different fights. I was there at the little big horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more a dying, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we want with a saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my
This is KBOO Portland. The time is edging towards 10 a.m., and it's time for Air Cascadia news, interviews, and commentary with your host, Chris Andre, followed at 10:15 with Flash Points. So keep it locked right here on KBOO Portland, your community radio.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, October 16th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Coming right up, we have a very special guest this morning, documentary filmmaker Robert Lundell, storyteller extraordinaire, joins us to talk about Who Are My People? The world's energy companies are converging on the Mojave Desert in Southern California. Here's what they want to do. And again, this is the paradox. Large environmental groups like NRDC, Sierra Club, I could go on, have partnered with energy companies and utilities. That corporate fix is in. They've destroyed ecosystems, migrating birds, habitat, tortoise, and sacred places from ancient civilizations. The LA Times, no less than the LA Times, and says that we're at a flashpoint between competing value systems. Bodies have been exhumed, geoglyphs destroyed in an area that is a long-term indigenous settlement. So why? And how did this happen? How did we get to this point in the year 2015 when, in order to ensure more and more and more burgeoning consumption, mainly in Southern California, we have energy companies who have co-opted large environmental groups, brought them on board, and now I say we're making clean energy. We're making this wonderful. The problem is right there that we need to curb consumption right now before it's too late. As far as indigenous people are concerned, they've known all along. Nobody is fooling them. They've seen it all before, and they're not buying it this time. So enter the scene, Robert Lundell. He has made other films. He's made some extraordinary movies, Song on the Water, about Salish people up in British Columbia and one of the last potlatch event. He's also done an extraordinary film on the Elwha River. It's a very beautiful, lyrical documentary that with the voice, the words of Raymond Carver introducing it. It's Unconquering the Last Frontier. So we have Unconquering the Last Frontier, Song in the Water, and now we have Who Are My People. Okay, these are reverent documentaries. They are factual, but they're poetic at the same time. They are clearly the work of a storyteller and a truth speaker. We are very fortunate to have Robert Lindell joining us today. We're at the moment in an effort to bring these three extraordinary documentaries to Portland. It is, of course, I probably don't need to remind you, the 10th annual Indian Storytelling Festival. Young people have been mentored by Wisdom of the Elders, Deanna Soto's, who's work out with the Wisdom Garden. She has put been instrumental in putting this together. It's the 10th one now. It takes place all weekend long at various venues, Saturday night at the Portland Art Museum. And you know, all kinds of First Nations storytellers. And now, today, we have Robert Lindell joining us to talk about his form of storytelling and how he respectfully inhabits the spirit, the soul of Indigenous peoples to bring you these images and visions of the beauty of heritage and what's at stake. Good morning, Robert. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you. What a wonderful introduction.
Well, I don't even know where to begin. These are extraordinary pieces of work. I've done documentary filmmaking. I've never seen anything like it. The voices are so absolutely true, and you've somehow managed to make a documentary and getting without distorting the facts and keeping carefully out of your own way and allowing your subjects to speak. On that note, of course, I'd like to ask you to speak about these films. First, do you want to just tell our listeners about your first two earlier films up in the Elwha and up in Canada, and then the more recent one, which has received so many awards I can't even begin to list them here?
Sure, of course. Well, I was working in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I had wanted to be a filmmaker, of course, and the opportunity that was available to me there was working in Silicon Valley with companies like Apple and Sun and this and that, and I had done quite a bit of this marketing stuff, and I was spending my life in conference rooms, and I thought, you know, this has got to end, and I had just had a vision one day when I heard a radio program, Pulse of the Planet, on NPR about the restoration of the Elwha River and the removal of the dams on the Elwha, which are giant power dams built, you know, in the early 20th century. And it was a story, the first story of its kind, where there was the thought and the intention of restoring not only a river but an ecosystem. And I had witnessed 40 years of environmental destruction to that point. And like I said, I had spent a lot of time in conference rooms and on freeways and had grown up in Los Angeles in an era of smog and air pollution that was unprecedented. And the loss of the land and the resources there and the orange groves and, you know, the conversion of what had been a kind of environmental paradise to the Los Angeles basin that we know today. So I thought, and I'd gone to college in Oregon, of course, as I had told you, I went to U of O and Lewis and Clark. And so I was a little bit aware that, you know, there was something called an ecosystem, and there were things called famine and people that lived with that land. And I got up to Port Angeles and landed at the Elwha Shaker Church, which is a Native American church that people, your listeners, are probably familiar with, and made friends in the community. And I explained why I was there, just like I explained it to you. And then over the course of the next 8 years, I proceeded to make this film, flying back and forth and driving back and forth. I was welcomed not only by the shaman of the church, I guess we can call him that, Bosco Charles, and also by two Native elders, B. Charles and Adeline Smith, who were both in their 60s at that time, and they had lived a very interesting life. After the dams had gone in on this river, it cut off the Native food supply, so I have no qualms about saying that it was a genocidal act, and the community struggled to survive in the shadow of hydropower development, as I put it, until finally in 2012 the dams were removed.
And moving, I want to be, time, we have so little time. We're going to have, just listeners know, we're going to have Robert back, and we're going to try to bring these films to Portland, do everything, we pull out all the stops. The next one that's up in this series is impossible, really, to start in speaking about it, but if listeners know what a potlatch is, how important it is to the cultural life of First Nations, then this is a true recounting and telling the story of a potlatch. The singing in
it's
it is the singing is amazing. You'll see amazing war canoes. It's extraordinary. I want to, we can try to circle back to that, but because of time constraints, I want to get straight into the film Who Are My People? The Mojave Desert, much of it's sacred ground for Indigenous peoples. Article 8 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People grants the people who live there the right to practice their traditions in that on that land, and they're coming into conflict now with energy companies who, and the paradox is that huge corporatized and environmental NGOs like the Sierra Club and others, NRDC, mm-hmm. are back. Talk a little bit about how you managed to make this film in the first place, and yeah. why you chose to walk on such dangerous ground here.
Well, after having made the film on the Elwha, I had some understanding of what energy companies do and what non-local capital can do in a rural or remote region. And the Mojave had been forgotten for 60 years after World War II. It's a dry landscape where things are preserved very well. And along the Colorado, we say the Colorado River was like the Nile for Native peoples. Following the last ice age, it was a place that supported life in California, and so many tribes are still there. And their traditional antiquities, artifacts, village sites, burials are all over, but have been kept quiet. Some of the larger, better, more interesting examples are the giant geoglyphs that, were popularized by Eric von Däniken in his book Chariots of the Gods. And these are human and animal figures that are up to 200 feet long, that can be seen from space. And so when the Obama administration decided to allocate funds for the creation of large energy projects, which they were calling renewable, they decided to site them in this desert where there's, nothing in their view. And but there was everything in the Native American view. And so, like the Elwha, it was a story about Native communities and energy development. So large amounts of capital in the billions of dollars coming in from foreign nations under the auspices of the ARRA stimulus program to provide jobs. And I was simply called. I had a colleague who said, we'd like you to help us write a lawsuit to help stop six of these projects. And I did, and so I used the filmmaking to create depositions and stories and listen to people, just like I'd done on the Elwha. So storytelling originates from listening to people. And what I found was that culture was under threat and sovereignty was under threat and cultural history was under threat. And so I worked with four Native elders, primarily Alfredo Figueroa, who had worked with Cesar Chavez and the UFW, the farm workers, Philip Smith, the founder of the Chemehuevi tribe, Preston Arrowweed, a Quechan storyteller and playwright, and Ron Van Fleet, Reverend Ron Van Fleet, the hereditary chief of the Mojave Nation. And I followed them in the film as they went up against these huge international forces to try to bring common sense and respectful practice into the United States policy around energy development and how they relate to Native peoples and Native sovereignty.
And it's interesting, in the normal course of events, activists, environmentalists take on those on the right, big energy, oil industry, fossil fuel industries. And that's, of course, a massive opponent, David and Goliath. But in the case of the Mojave Desert and the indigenous people there have a right by treaties and by the Article 8 of the United Nations, to be there and to protect and maintain and use the sacred sites. You're taking on both sides, both these powerful environmental NGOs on the left and the corporate energy interests on the right. So you're fighting both.
Right, somebody said that, well, the entire environmental movement is against you.
Yeah. It is. And people are being sold a bill of goods. They really have. People who are good-hearted, well-meaning folk have gotten on board with these NGOs that purport to be doing the good work and are doing anything but. We have virtually no time left. Just a few final words from you. You're a storyteller, filmmaker, and an all-around extraordinary human being. You're making these films. They're wonderful. You should take a look at them if you can have a look online. Robert, just a kind of final thought before we let you go.
It was a good story. That's really all I have to say. I didn't think about taking on anybody. I thought of working with communities of Native people, and I knew there were problems with the technology. You know, they wanted shovel-ready projects, and they went to Sandia Labs and pulled out these projects from the 1980s, and they didn't work very well, and now they're supplemented by 40% fossil fuels. So it really became a fossil fuels play, you know, the wolf in sheep's clothing, and that's been something to understand. You know, I would say, you know, when green is not sustainable, who are my people?
It is
really
a good, and that's it, and that's the story, and
more from people.com.
More from.